Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll pick it up at chapter 5 since we had a mishap last week. Chapter 5, we'll start at verse 1. And Paul is writing to the Corinthians. You know what? Before we do that, before we get into this, is it'll help, you know, to know, just to recover this, recap this, what the book of Corinthians, what Paul even wrote it for. And he wrote it because he was trying to remind them who they were in Christ. And you don't really know, if you don't know who you are, you don't know what you should be doing. You don't know what your purpose is. You know how people always say that, I'm just trying to find what's God's will for my life. Well, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the first thing he had to remind them is who they were in Christ. Remember when we first looked at the book, and he told them, look at back at chapter 1, just a quick glance back. And before you do that, what was the Corinthians' problem? Do you remember the Corinthians? What was their
problem?
They were carnal. Give me a synonym for that. They were carnal?
Fleshly.
Fleshly? Yeah, they were fleshly. Carnal?
They thought they had a license.
Carnal, yeah.
Worldly.
That's a good one, yeah. Think of another one?
They,
a couple of them, yeah, some of them.
How about uneducated? They didn't know who they were or what. Yeah.
That was a lack of education, a lack of spiritual education.
Yeah.
They were spiritually uneducated.
Correct,
yeah. And yet they had all the gifts. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
That's how you know. You know, that's how you know that it was this God that was doing something in Corinth.
Mm-hmm.
Not them.
Right.
It was something that, and that's the thing is, you got to know who you are and what God's doing. And God used them in spite of their carnality. He equipped them to serve him, to get his purpose out. And part of that purpose was to proclaim the word of God. Not only to proclaim it, but to compile it. And they had those, all those people in Corinth, despite their worldly behavior, their fleshly carnal behavior, their uneducated practices. That's why Paul had to write. You notice when we talked about that, when you go through the Corinthians, the book of Corinthians, he used those phrases. Know ye not? Knowing this,
have I not told you?
All those all those trigger words where he's trying to get them. God, you know, he works through his word. God's a very intelligent God, obviously. God's a wise God, the all-wise God, Paul calls him. And isn't it funny that even today, where people are very emotional, but very little education is going on in the assemblies. So they're very active as far as the physical information, the physical transactions, let's call all the music, the dancing, the shouting, the praising. There was a lady last week, we were in church, the dancing. All this is going on. But if you had to ask them, who are you in Christ? And it might stump them. It might be like a Jeopardy question. But when Paul writes to the Corinthians, that was one of their problems. He had to write to them in chapter 1. He said, the first thing he said was, verse 2, unto the Church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are
in Christ.
To them that are. That's who they were When he wrote to them, they were what? They weren't trying to get there. Positionally, God had set them apart. When they believed, that's what God does. When you believe, He takes you out of Adam, puts you in Christ, and He delivers you from this present evil world, and translates you to the power of the kingdom of His dear Son, and He sets you apart to use you, to use us. And yet, because we're under grace, and because it's when you get saved, that's just the beginning, and you really have a lot of information to learn about what God wants, you can do things. You can do these things if you don't know who you are. You can be dictated by the flesh. You can be let the world dictate what you do. You can let your flesh dictate what you do. That's what the Corinthians did. When Paul went there, he says, you're operating on the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of men, and not the wisdom of God. And to get them back on track as believers. The thing is, you just...
Were they ever really on track, though?
When they got saved, and not only were they on track, but they were given the gifts. They were on track the moment they got saved. They were on track. And when they began to practice those gifts,
yeah,
they were on track. But they... When you let the world influence you, you get off track too.
Well, wait a minute. What I hear you saying is that they were, okay, you just said they were on track, but they got off track. But I'm assuming you're classifying on track as meaning they believed and were put into the body of Christ. They were uneducated, period, about what they meant. All those things still had to come. It's like when Paul said, Lord, what have you, be saved and come to the knowledge of truth? I don't think they didn't have knowledge of the truth and then went off that, did they? Or they just still needed to be educated?
There was, don't misunderstand the book. Not every, look at this verse. Look at verse, chapter 1. Look at verse
12. Well, obviously, the house of Chloe, there's people there that are reporting about the problem, so there's some people that tend to change between this is what not what we should be doing versus this is
okay. Exactly. He said something, I can't remember the verse he said this. He said there are he said, yeah, there's contentions among you, and it was another word he used. He said, and it must be true because that somebody has to be approved among you to even make this distinction that some of you guys have fell off.
And that's 1 Corinthians 10 says, or 11, when he says there must be heresies among you, and I
partly believe it.
So that they
exactly.
Yeah. It's 11 verse 19, but there must be awful heresies among you that they who are approved may be manifest among you.
Right. It was a
contingency.
There was also a half and half. Right. Some people were, some people weren't. The whole lot weren't carnal. But he said this in chapter 1, just to look at this right quick here. He says, verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So they had the gifts, they were operating in those gifts, and even here he says, you're waiting. So they had the faith, they had the gifts, they even had the hope. Not all of them. But it doesn't take, like I said, it doesn't take a lot for you to get sidetracked. You know what, most people, if you're not actively growing.
You have no
other option but to. Now, I was reading something the other day. Move over here. I was reading something the other day, and we have old and new nature. We know that. We have Adam, the influence of Adam is always there, even though we've been delivered from his authority. But I was reading the book, and the guy said, he said that just everybody has two natures. Most people are not familiar with that, even believers. He said, but just like the two men, he said, there's two men in every man. And we were talking about, he was talking about David. He said, there's a king in him, and then there's a fool in him. Mm-hmm. And this depends on the one that you lean towards, the one that you cater to, that's the one that'll show up. So the same David that, was praising God and moving forward in God's name is the same David. Yeah, that guy, the same guy. The man after God's own heart, and yet he does all the things that you wouldn't expect a king to do. So the Corinthians, the first thing he has to remind them is who they are in Christ. We're not trying to get sanctified positionally. But Paul is saying, listen, he says, what I want to do is for you to line up for the position that he's given you. You know that? He says, right now, he says, you're our ambassador, you're a saint, you're, you have all these, this position in Christ. That's why he has to remind them in verse 1:10. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. They were working together for God. All of them should have been laborers together with God. But if you don't know what he's doing, you can't labor with him. If you don't... Right. You remember when God scrambled them at the Tower of Babel? They were working together for a while, and when he came and confused them, they all went different ways. But the Corinthians, they only got one set of instructions to start with, didn't they? And that was Paul. Somewhere along the way, they got different sets. Flesh does this. The world tells you to do this. Paul's telling you to do this. They're all off in different areas. The unity is over. The unity was at stake in Corinth. And if the unity is at stake, guess what? Their work would be hindered. That's what a local assembly is. You know, like this is actually a local assembly. You know, the Church of God at Memphis. Or is this Bartlett or Memphis?
Memphis.
At Mark. Okay. The Church of God, well, at Corinth. The Church of God at Memphis. At Memphis. And what's going on here is we are educating ourselves so we can labor intelligently with God and for God. So when we go out here, we know how to address a person that says, well, what you're talking about, that means I can sin, I can do all I want to do. And he says, no, you have not so learned Christ. that's not what he says. He says, Paul said this, as we be slanderously reported, he let us do evil, that good may come. You know, with grace, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. He said, that's not bad concept. That's your vanity talking. That's not God's word. if they knew they were sanctified, they said he's set apart for service. That's what I want. So he had reminded them who they were. Now we go back to chapter 5. Seeing that they got off track, like we all can get off track. And the information that he's given the Corinthians is this, that's what the design is for, is to get them thinking spiritual again, not carnal. It's to get them thinking like God wants them to think so he can use them. To get them back, well, they didn't have scripture, but to get them back under Paul's doctrine. That's why he writes to them and he addresses all the issues that they gave him. Chapter 5, he says, it is reported, all the other things that we covered in chapters 1 through 4, but it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. You know, and we talked about it last week, is the one thing that when every epistle that Paul writes, 95% of his, when he writes in it, he addresses fornication. He talks about it in Romans. He says, you're doing some things that he gave them up for. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, all these things. Corinthians, he writes to the Corinthians, he said, there's some stuff going on in the local assembly that they don't do out in the world. He says that a man will have his father's wife. That's some Canaanite stuff going on. He says, and you're puffed up. So, you know what? They're sitting in the local assembly and they know. They know. You know what commonly means? There's no discretion in that act. Yeah. You know when they caught the lady, they said, we caught her. We caught her what?
Yeah.
In the very act. We got her. Here, he says, everybody knows. At Corinth, everybody knows that man has his father's wife. Is commonly reported. He says, this is not so much as named among the Gentiles. You know what he said in Ephesians? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Just keep your finger right there. Ephesians chapter 4. Chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But there it is. But what? There he is, talking to the Ephesians. To the Ephesians, who he laid down these high truths of the mystery, the high truths of the gospel, the grace of God, telling them what this heavenly position is. And then he has to remind them, he says, hey, Ephesians, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once, what? Named among you as becoming saints. He says, when I say saints, I'm expecting your position, I'm expecting your practice to line up with your position. And you're sanctified. Christ, you're sanctified in Christ. Guess what I expect? To be sanctified. He says, when I roll into Ephesus, I don't want them to say, well, the saints over there, Those are the... Those, and everybody knows. He said, let it not be once. Well, here in Corinth, he says, back to Corinth, he said this what? He said, and what you're doing
is
and that's what we talked about last week, is one thing we know about saints is this. If you walk in the flesh, you will fulfill the desires of the flesh. And how, you know what you know about the flesh? He's corrupt. He's deceitful. He has a great his lust is great. There's no limit. In Ephesians, Paul said that he will work uncleanness with greediness. You can never trust the flesh. You can say, you know what, I can do this. I got this under control. You can't. There was one of the verses, one of the first verses that I remember learning was, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes be not burned? You can't get close to sin and think that everything's going to be okay, because that's how deceptive he is. You know, there's no different. You ever heard a person say, I don't have a habit. I don't have a drinking habit. I don't have a drinking problem. It's like, you have alcohol on your breath right now. It's like 9 o'clock in the morning. I don't have a problem. I can quit whenever I want. Because they don't know. Look, Romans said this, know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to your members. That's whose servants you are. Whether of sin unto death. Jesus said, whosoever committed sin is a servant of sin. Maybe temporary. It may be, but at that moment, when he wrote to even the Galatians, he says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, that tells you, you can be saved. You can have information. You can have sincere. But if you yield to the flesh, there is no telling what you might do. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Or believest thou this?
And also, now it says, I can't remember the word, but it says, your life will be next.
Considering. He said, you know, if you find the person that's that way, and this is what the Corinthians didn't do. He said, here's why they didn't do it. Galatians said this, if a man be overtaken in the fault, you that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Why couldn't the Corinthians restore that man?
Now watch this.
But Galatians 6 said this. Listen, he said, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. He said, if you want to correct this man, he says, first thing you got to send is what? Send him somebody that's going to deal with him in meekness, and send him somebody. Send him somebody spiritual. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he says, one thing I couldn't do, I couldn't talk to you as to spiritual, but as to what? I had to speak unto you as the carnal, meekness,
week.
They were just, that's why the man stayed in the state that he was in. Look, he said it. Look at chapter 4, 5. He says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, and ye are
puffed up.
You're puffed up. And have not rather mourned that he that had done this thing might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that has so done this deed. That's, you know what? Paul's saying, that's no brainer for me. What? That's what, you can you imagine when Paul got the letter and he said, you know what, Paul? There's some things going on here that's so bad. He said, and this guy, he's got his father's life over here. And he probably said, what?
No,
he's writing. And he, that's why. If they were spiritual, if they had somebody there who thought like God, when they saw that man in bondage to his flesh, somebody could have went to him in meekness and said, "Look, brother, that's not God's will. That's not God's will for us. That's not his desire for us to live in sin when we've been what? Taken away from. We've been delivered from the power of sin. What you're displaying is is the direct opposite of what God has worked in our lives. But he said, you're puffed up. You know, they said, I would never do that. I love the Lord too much for that. Right. You ever heard that? Just one thing, you know what? One thing you learn about saints, and when saints learn about themselves, you know what? We'll all deal with each other in meekness. When you find out, I've heard all things what saints won't do. I've heard saints say, "Oh no, I won't do that," and a little while later, he says, "What? He did? Oh, really? Okay." And it doesn't surprise me now. You know why? Because I'm a saint. And I know my thought process. I know when the old man makes suggestions. So, and I know when I yield to the old man. So nobody, you know what? It won't surprise me at all. Disappoint me? Maybe. But surprise me? No. If you yield to the flesh, like I said, he is deceitful. You think that, but he will hang you. But he said, you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that has done this deed might be taken away from you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now we talked a little bit about that, is to deliver of such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Now we don't do things like that today in the sense of that, the way Paul is describing it there. We don't have people that's overtaking them in the thought or go to them and say, "We're delivering you unto Satan now, you have to get out of here." We don't use that terminology. But he says, you deliver him unto Satan. And this is the key word in there, for the destruction of the flesh. And we talked about, huh?
In other words, total, not just cast out, just got to go.
That's a, and what we, what did you say?
No, yeah, she's,
oh. And this is what I like about this is where we, when you go through 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, where Paul, when he talked about it, he says, first thing is, you are God's
building.
He said, you're God's husbandry. He says, I've laid the foundation. He's using all these, the terminology that he uses. He says, you're God's temple. And he says, now this man, what he's built up in him is not, it's not Christ. It's not spiritual. What he's built up in him is what? It's all flesh.
He said, burn it down to the ground. Start over again.
That's exactly what that means. To the word actually means, it means to. And this is what it means.
To unbuild.
Now you're talking about talk. Right? Chop, you know what I'm going to chop? The cooking chop. What it says, what I've made for you is a destructed, whatever it is. Destructed. A deconstructed, yeah, right. A deconstructed. So they take every component that's added into it and break it down to its smallest element. And this, what this man, he, you know what? He needs to go, he needs to have that flesh and his fleshly thoughts. He needs to have them unbuilt, tore down, and then purged, destroyed. And that's when Paul, you know when Paul, when he says that if any man destroy the temple of God, him shall God destroy? That's what he means. He says, if you built up something in these saints that's worthless, he says, God's going to destroy that. What is it, Jenny?
Like, because I had in my own notes that, you know, like total destruction, but you wouldn't lose your salvation. So
right.
Like, you're actually talking about taking them out.
Oh, well, no. When I say taking him out, I mean when I'm saying taking him out, I'm taking out his the doctrine. That's,
okay.
You're taking out.
The first, are they talking about?
No, no. This
is talking about the exact same thing.
That's right. He says, we're taking him out for the destruction of the flesh.
Oh, it's basically taking all that stuff and taking it right down to the foundation to start again.
And see, what this man is, he's overtaken in the fleshly way. The Galatians had the same thing happen to them, but Paul said this, I travail in pain again until what? Until he be
formed in another building where
he said, we got to start all over with them too. But this time it was more doctrine and not practice. But the thing is the doctrine affects your practice. Bad doctrine, bad practice.
Communication is
corrupt.
Bad blueprints. Bad construction.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul, he says, we deliver him to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Look at 2 Timothy. Maybe this verse might help us a little bit, make it a little clearer. Second Timothy, chapter 2, verse 24. 2 Timothy 2:24. he says, and the servant of the Lord must, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be what? There it is. Unto all men, apt to teach, patient in, remember that word? The same word he told to somebody in Galatia, if you're going to help him out, go to him what? In meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. But he says here, he says, in meekness, what? Instructing those that what?
Oppose
themselves. If God, peradventure, or perhaps, will give them repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth. There's your doctrine right there, Blake. To the acknowledging of the truth. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. That's what's happening here, where they said, we can deliver this man unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. When he gets, they put that man out of the local assembly, guess what he'll do? He'll fulfill it until he feels himself full of it.
Yeah.
Now, I remember Melissa, she we use the term, she says, she got churched out. She was all churched. Remember she said it? She got churched out. Well, that's where they deliver this man unto Satan so he can get fleshed out. You know, that's one thing about a believer. If you're a sincere believer, and you, there's going to come a time, if you, I don't say sincere believer, because I don't want to put people on performance, but.
But it is true. I mean, everybody has agreed to it.
Hungry for the truth. I was thinking today there's a couple people in our little group that have came to us in time past and then were gone for a while, and they've worked their way back, and I know without even talking to them by their hunger for it that they weren't getting fed out there. And they made it back here because they knew this is where they heard the truth.
It makes sense. That's why you have to have confidence in the doctor. That's what he said. Look, that's why he said this. In meekness. Instructing. That's information. Instructing those that
oppose
themselves. If you, when you step away from the doctrine, guess who you hurt? You. And you know what? The other believers suffer too, because we're one.
Right.
We're connected. So I can't see you
strong as your weakest link.
I can't see you stumble and fall and be happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't see me in bondage to the flesh, or even doctrinally in bondage, and not want to come to my rescue. That's what Paul says. Go to them, instructing those that oppose themselves, peradventure, you know what? God will give him a change of mind. And he can recover. Listen, look at this verse. He says, and that they may be recovered. What did he say? That they may
recover themselves.
You know how you recover yourself? When you come to your mind.
Renew your mind with the truth.
And then what you say? He says, I had enough of this lifestyle. We use the example of the prodigal son. When he was in line, he was the heir of his father. He left. He went to the hall of pen. He wallowed in the hall of pen.
And he changed his senses.
You know what? He remembered. What did he remember?
The truth.
What was the truth? What did he remember?
His father had it all.
Okay. If his father had it all, what did that make him?
An heir.
It made him an heir. He was his father's son. And what's going to get you out of the hog pen? Well, same thing would get that man in Corinth out of the hog pen. He was going to have to see that I'm my father's son. And he has more, he wants more out of me than this. Remember we said last week, it was weeks ago, well, did God get all he paid for when he bought you? So we found out the Corinthians, you've been bought with a price. Or did he get all he paid for? Or you like Ananias and Sapphira? You holding back part of the price? But he said, you can recover yourself from the snare of the devil. And that's what Paul, when he's talking about deliver this such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, said, look, brother, we love you. He said, admonish him as a brother, but have no fellowship with him. He said, we love you, but what you're doing, you can't do it up in the assembly. You know, this both of you. Obviously, he was.
Something just hit me about this verse. I never thought about
what it. What verse?
Where we are at in 1 Corinthians.
Okay.
It hit me, all of a sudden, it's just like the story with the woman caught in the act of adultery. It says that this guy was put out of assembly, but about his father's wife.
Mm-hmm. What does that tell you about her? She's not a believer.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
He was the accountable one. Right. So, he says, verse 3. I'm sorry, we went farther than that. Verse 6. Yes. He says, well, to deliver, it's 5. Deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. And again, we said, you know what, well, that was the, to really to tear down that had been constructed in him, that flesh, the fleshly, he was being dominated by the flesh. He had built up the flesh, and he had to have that torn down in him, that all that being dominated by the flesh, he had to have that torn down. He says that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I actually wrote, what's that right down? He says to liberate, to liberate the mind from restraining influences interfering with the mind's free action. Interpret that, yeah. He says, and this was in a book, I was reading something and it had nothing to do with scripture at all. And I said, man, that's it. He says, to liberate the mind from restraining influences. That's Romans 6. He says, know ye not that you're dead to sin? We died to sin, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That's to liberating influences. The old man, does he have influences? You better believe he has influences. And he says, what I need to do is to liberate you from listening to what that old man says. Because that's like a skeleton. Close enough. And here you are. Blank right now. And when he gives you those influences, and he gets in there, and then and he begins to work in your members. And you take the members that God bought and you use them for sin. But he said this. He says, this is what delivering unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. He says, I want to liberate the mind from me. From the restraining influences interfering with the minds free actions. He said, you've been free from sin, haven't you? Well, what's interfering with you from embracing the fact that you've been free not to sin, but free to what? To serve Him. There's something influencing you and restraining you from being free. And it's you listening to the old man. And he's dominating you. Like he dominated the man in Corinth. He says, you need, and what? When he takes this, all this building up is what? Building up an edifice of flesh. He says, now what we're going to do is let you go over here and let him whip you up.
Right away.
And after a while, you know what? You're going to miss that. You know what Paul said in Romans? He said, this is stopping this man. He says, don't you know that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? So you sit, you know what? He's over there, and then all he can think about is what happened to me. I remember when I got saved. I remember what joy I had. I remember learning who I was in Christ. I remember learning what all the things that He had for me. And he said, you know what? Me and you, the end of this party right here. I've been in places, not bad, not real bad. But I've been in places and I said, you know what?
What am I
doing here? You ever been in a situation like that? As a believer, you say, what? Why am I even here? Nonetheless, why am I answering? Why am I engaging in this conversation and this activity? Why am I even here? The flesh, he just, before you know it, here you are. I don't say before you know it, because you know it.
Yeah.
But here you are. And he says, deliver such one for the destruction of the flesh. And it says, the coercive power that interferes with the freedom of the person. That's the old man. Does he interfere with your freedom? In Christ?
Well,
does his coercive power interfere with your freedom?
My freedom is there, but
you don't appreciate it though.
I don't.
Does it interfere with your appreciation of your freedom?
Yeah.
He doesn't to us, does he?
Mm-hmm.
You let him.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Let him go. He says, deliver him that his flesh might be destroyed and that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. You know what? Paul said something to the Thessalonians. He said this. He says, I'm praying. You know what? Real quickly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now here, you know what? Here in Thessalonians where Paul said, you know what? I don't even need to tell people about your faith. Your faith is going all around the world. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
He says, so we don't even need to talk about it. Everybody knows about the Thessalonians. They own the ball. Guess what he said to the Thessalonians? Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. He says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, who will also do it. How about that? Flip back to chapter 4.
Thessalonians
chapter 4. Same, you know what? They're working, waiting for the Lord, waiting for the coming, the great hope. He says, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain." Saints? Waiting for the Lord? Faith all around the world? He says, I have to remind you too that you should abstain from what? From fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in what? Sanctification and in honor. Isn't that something? That's what the Corinthians, they were sanctified positionally, but they weren't possessing their vessel in what? Sanctification and honor. Who's it up to? Possessing their sanctification and vessel, or possessing their vessel in sanctification and honor. Who is it up to?
Well, they had free will.
And if they didn't embrace that doctrine, guess what? Not only would they not possess it in sanctification and honor, they would do what this fellow here did. He would be overtaken in a fog. Okay, and so he says, verse 6, he says, "Your glory is not good." Corinthians 5, 6, he said, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not?" There you go. Do you think God would be happy with the Corinthians in their state of not knowing? What about us today? We got a lot of not knowing going on in the body of Christ. You believe that?
Sure.
A lot. Well, that's a failure too. But that's what I see more and more, and we know this, is that God has gone through great lengths to educate us about what he wants.
Okay.
And the thing is, the thing the Corinthians didn't want, and the thing that we don't want that keeps us ignorant, is we don't want to listen. He says, "I have the commandments." Well, that too. "I have the commandments of the Lord for you." He said, "If any man think himself to be or a prophet, let him acknowledge." He didn't say let him have knowledge of it. All these things out here, they have knowledge that Paul wrote some books. Mm-hmm. Don't they?
Mm-hmm.
They have knowledge.
person. Knowledge puffs up. Charity edifies.
But they don't.
Okay.
You know what I like? If that word is just like it sounds.
Act like you know it.
Act like you know it. You know what he says? Look at Titus. Look at Titus chapter 1. And we'll Titus 1, he says this. He says, to the...
Titus what?
Titus 1. Titus 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the knowledge.
Acknowledging.
No, knowledge.
Acknowledging.
The acknowledging of the truth, which is what? Which is after godliness. You know what that means? He says, the acknowledging of the truth. It results in this. The acknowledging to act on the knowledge of this truth, it produces this. In you. It produces, if you act on the knowledge of this doctrine, it'll produce godliness in you. That's why, you know what, the Corinthians, anytime you see, even in yourself, when you find yourself, you know, leaning toward the flesh, being dominated by the flesh, or you see another believer, you can just bet that somewhere along the line, he still got the knowledge, don't he? But he ain't acting on the knowledge. He's not believing that, you know what, God said this to the Corinthians. He told the Corinthians, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Right. That's in you. And you're not your own. I'm grown. I can do what I want to do. Go where I want to go. Do what I want to do. Say what I want to say.
You want to act with the knowledge of the wisdom.
That whose body is it? Even though he said, you know what? It's your body.
It's your house. It's my house, and you can live there, but I have more.
You know what? I'm the landlord.
Yeah.
You know what? I didn't say he's the landlord because he's living in there with you. Mm-hmm. He said, right now, I just what? You're the groundskeeper. I own it. He said, I'm just entrusting you with it. And what do we do with that vessel?
Mm-hmm.
Man. But that's what it says. The acknowledgement of the truth, though, is after godliness. So, back to Corinthians, and we're going to stop in verse 6. He says, your glory is not good. Know ye not. Know ye not. Corinthians. Oh, can you imagine that he's writing this letter and they're probably in the assembly and somebody's reading it out loud and you got maybe what? We're going to be generous and say 200 Corinthians in the building, and he's reading, he says, your glorying is not good. And everybody real quiet, kind of looking at each other, feeling sorry for themselves. He said, your glorying, because they know they weren't. Glory is not good. He says, know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? And they're thinking, you know what?
for destroying yourself.
Guess who was there? Guess who was there?
The fornicator.
What?
The little.
You know what? You know what? That's like, remember the Lord when he says, when I break this bread, the man to whom I give the sop is the one that's going to betray me. Mm-hmm. And they begin to... who is it? They begin, who is it? Is it me? Is it him? Mm-hmm. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Can you imagine? They're sitting all there. Most of them, they're doing something. You know what they're thinking is? A little leaven? Am I the little leaven? He knew he was the leaven, didn't he? Well, who else? Who else? He says, little leaven, what? Leaven is the whole lump. Purge out. Well, we will stop there. A little leaven, leaven is the whole lump. And we'll talk about the leaven next week.
Let me show you a quick question.